Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cloud 259 Running on Air. I'm Greg Lemelstein. As always, I'm with my co-host, Bren Jones. It's Wednesday, July 18th, and this is episode 67. So, Bren, what do we have on this show besides me?
Sorry, Greg, mostly you. So we're going to continue our mini-series. Greg is really hitting it in his quest to break 3 hours in the marathon. So he's been training with, under the guidance of Coach Nate Jenkins, who he hired because he wanted to be accountable to a professional athlete. And Nate's advice is fantastic. Greg recorded a clip with Nate Jenkins the other day while Donald Trump was meeting with Vladimir Putin. Greg was talking with Nate on the phone. So we don't have a recording of Trump and Putin's convo, but Greg, we do have a recording of your convo with Nate. So I think there's some valuable stuff in there, valuable training tips, not only for Greg, but for anyone who's going for a marathon. Greg completed a hard week of training that included a long run with a few miles a little faster than marathon pace, and he wanted Nate's feedback on that. There's even mention, Greg, of aerobic lipidic power, so we're really going to geek out. Aside from that, Greg, I'll talk a bit about the exciting Diamond League action that just happened and that's coming up in London and in your neck of the woods these days. And then we'll touch on a few marathons coming up this fall. Jeez, summer's, don't say it's going quick, but we are in full marathon season.
And what about your training, Brian?
Oh, my training? Yeah, maybe I'll say something about my training. Yeah, well, why don't we start there, Greg? Let's talk about me. So the New York City Marathon is in about 15 and a half weeks from now. It's on November 4th. I'm signed up for it. If I'm really fit, I'll run it. Greg, I ran 15 the other day, so that was my first 15 miler of the year, discounting one long run I did with my sister in Scotland, actually, so my second 15 miler of the year. This one was in DC. It was hot. I went early in the morning. There were a lot of other people sweating early in the morning. And Greg, it felt good to get it done. Part of the reason I did 15 is I wanted to get 40 on the week. So my strategy now, I have 15 and a half weeks to train. So I want to hit at least 40 each week, but starting at about 12 weeks out, I'm going to want that to be 50. And starting at about 8 weeks out, I'm going to want that to be about 60. So I will use training mileage as a big gauge, but, the run was fine, except everything has been really slow for me lately in the heat. And, so I'm just getting some consistency, Greg.
Good. And we'll be spending some time together. I'll be in New York in August, and you'll be running with me.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy about everything you said, except you used the word if. I think you're running the New York City Marathon, barring injury.
Yeah, we'll see. I've learned that your full body, spirit, and soul need to be in the endeavor.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But certainly part of, Greg, my motivation for doing the 15 the other day, too, also was that so I would be fit enough to try to keep up with you. A bit of competition is good, I think, among friends, among teammates when training. And Greg and I did a long run a few weeks ago, and Greg dropped me after 12 miles. So I want to avoid that happening again. So let's turn away from us, Greg, and just to the pros a little bit. So this weekend in London, there's going to be a Diamond League meet, and I just want to talk about a few exceptional races coming up. The highlight, Greg, when I looked at the start list, and there's some fabulous races, is on Sunday. So Sunday, the last event of the meet at 3:49 local time, I believe there, is called the Millicent Fawcett Mile. Now, from a quick search on Wikipedia, I get the sense that Millicent Fawcett was sort of the UK's equivalent of Susan B. Anthony here in the United States, suffragist for women. In that mile, we have Helen O'Beery of Kenya and Sifan Hassan of the Netherlands, who runs for the Oregon Project. And they just ran a fantastic 5,000 where O'Beery beat Hassan 14:21 to 14:22. Imagine running that fast. But I think of even greater interest to the UK fans, of course, is Laura Muir, and then the other Laura Whiteman. But Laura Muir would be the one who probably has the shot at winning that if she's on her game, and certainly the crowd is going to be going crazy. For the US, we've got Kate Grace, Brenda Martinez, and Jenny Simpson. three of the best milers we have to offer. The one clear runner missing will be Shelby Houlihan, who has been destroying everybody this year in the mile from the States. But still, it's a fantastic, fantastic lineup. At 3:08 local time there in London, the men's mile will go with from the U.S., Matt Centrowitz and Drew Hunter. Nick Willis will be in there. Josh Kerr, a lot of these guys who we saw at the Wanamaker Mile, Greg, early this year in New York. Chris O'Hare and Charlie Grice, other great British runners. It's a two-day event. So on Saturday, Greg, of course, us distance fans look at the long races. And in the 5,000, we have a really tasty matchup. Again, the U.S. is basically throwing the best we've got in that race. We got Ryan Hill, Eric Jenkins, Paul Kalimo, Kipchirchir, Mead, and True, Ben True, who we interviewed a while back. From Ethiopia, Gebrewet, Mukhtar Idris, the gold medalist in the Olympics, and Kajelcha, Yumif Kajelcha, who destroyed Paul Kalimo in the recent 5,000 at a Diamond League. And it's very hard to make Kalimo look slow, but over the last lap, Kajelcha did just that. And the Canadian Mohamed, who's also an exceptional runner. So basically some fantastic, fantastic races coming up this weekend. And Greg, is it possible that we may actually have a Cloud 259 representative there?
Yeah, we'll be covering it. I'll be there hopefully both days and taking pictures, hopefully interviewing some of the runners. So that will be great. Yeah. It's interesting that the fields are so great because there's a Monaco Diamond League just the day before on Friday. But mm-hmm. the way they have the events staggered, they don't repeat. The best milers, the best 5,000 runners are all headed to London because those events are not in Monaco.
Yeah, no, I think occasionally when there are back-to-back Diamond League meets, I think you're right to point out you lose the best runners, but in this one, it is a very stacked, loaded field.
And that men's mile, by the way, is not even a Diamond League event, but it's still attracting a top field. I believe it's a 1500 meter, but I don't think it's Diamond League.
The miles are awesome. You know, the one in Rabat that just went out last weekend, I was watching the mile, and that was a fantastic mile where the one Moroccan in the race won the race. It was a big upset, and the home fans were, of course, very excited. It probably helped him on to victory. The guy, Brahim Kazouzi. And just to indicate how strong the fields were, Matt Centrowitz ran 3:35 and finished 10th. And Molly Huddle ran the 5,000 and finished 10th. She was off her usual form. She ran 15:21, but still to see Huddle and Centrowitz so dusted tells you something about the quality of these fields.
Yeah, I think we'll see some interesting, you know, we're winding down track season. There's not that many Diamond League events, and Monaco is always known for some fast times, and London should be exciting. So this could be the last fireworks of the track summer.
Yeah. And Greg, there's also an announcement, I think maybe just today or yesterday, about the upcoming marathons this fall. So we talked, we're going to talk a bit about Greg's shot at Berlin, which is September 16th. Chicago is October 7th. And it was announced that Amy Craig will be running that along with Laura Thweet and Jordan Hesse. So with Craig, we've ran 2:21 at Tokyo this year. Jordan Hesse ran 2:20 at Chicago last year. And Laura Thweet ran 2:25 at London last year. So three top Americans running Chicago. And then, of course, we've got the New York City Marathon about 16 weeks away on November 4th. So, Greg, let's turn back to us in this little mini-series. You are 8.5 weeks out from your Berlin Marathon on September 16th. Your average miles over the past month is about, 60 a week or so. This last week you did close to 70 miles. Nate has you doing, it seems like a track workout and then a hard, either a very long run with a few marathon miles in it or a long run with a lot of marathon miles in it over the weekend. You're a few weeks into Nate's plan, and so far, so good, right?
So far, so good. Yeah, exactly. I like what you said to me. There's a lot of wood to chop left. And even though 8.5 weeks doesn't seem like a lot of time, there is a lot of time to get better. There's also plenty of time to get hurt if I overcook it. So I think I was sort of thinking of the sort of a marathon training block is kind of like a marathon in that in the early or middle miles, you just want to tuck in. Don't do anything stupid, but take it importantly, just take it 1 mile at a time. Stay in that moment. I try not to think about the enormity of all of the long runs that I still have to do and they get harder. These specific long Canova style runs have a lot of miles at marathon pace and they're daunting, but I just keep my head down and try to check off the next box and hopefully stay feeling great, which I am right now. You know, the great thing about having Nate and any good online coach is that you get a chance to check in once a week, usually by email or in this case with Nate by phone, and he will update the plan. Based on how I'm doing. So there haven't been many changes to the pacing or the distances yet. But what he's done is move some workouts around based on my schedule. And he's updating in real time, which is great. Plus, we're getting some knowledge from him, which we will pass on to all of you. I wanted to ask Nate about fueling during long runs, because we talked last episode about burning, how you're teaching your body to burn fat. I was wondering whether taking in a bunch of gels and sugar and caffeine and everything, with that, whether that interrupts the process. The quick answer is no, but we'll hear from Nate on that. But then I also wanted to ask about pacing for the shorter stuff, the track workouts, because sometimes we can all get competitive, especially in a group of runners, a club. It can turn into a free-for-all. So I asked him, how do you find the right pace for a track workout? And right after that, I went and did a track workout. So we can talk about that after we play the tape of Nate.
Yeah, and I've got a few thoughts too, but I'll share them until after we play the tape. There's a lot of good stuff in here. So here we go with Greg's convo with Nate Jenkins.
Nate, so we'll start again with the particulars and then maybe the bigger questions that apply to anyone. The long run went really, really well. I'm curious whether you're going to yell at me as my coach for going too fast and the 2 miles, because they weren't marathon pace. They were 6:30-ish.
Honestly, I'm not too worried about it, because you're running it at 18, 19, you know, it's your, you know, 18 to 19, 19 to 20 miles. If you've got that in the tank.
Oh, I did it early. Mile 15 and 16 were the faster ones.
But because if you had something to run with somebody, yeah, that's fine. And it's still, you've still got a good bit of running under your legs. And particularly for that work, I'm not too worried about it. The more extended ones where you have a lot of running at pace, it's important to stay kind of closer to marathon pace. But in terms of the fast finish ones, less so. And I think that you had it in your legs to do that is really good. And I'm also really happy that the 800 felt good. Just because the 10 by mile was such a session, and not what you're used to doing, that my worry was actually in the opposite direction, that, you know, this conversation would be more of a pump up conversation after a really tough week.
Yep.
Because it was a really good chance for you to be very flat all week. So no, I don't have a problem with you dropping down on a fast finish, running close to half marathon pace, or, you know, whatever range that, you know, ends up being.
Great.
Maybe a little quicker than half marathon, but, that's fine.
Excellent.
The only time I would be like, say, don't do that would be in the final 3 weeks. So anything in the final 3 weeks, you just don't want to exceed the speed limit.
Okay.
And other than that, it's the only thing that needs to be on pace are the really specific workouts. So the real big, the ones that have a good number of miles at marathon pace, or the long runs that are a little bit slower than marathon.
Okay. Now for this week, what is the right pace for a interval on a track with shorter intervals? Because from my experience with competitive groups, the coach might say 5K pace for the 800s, or let's say 3K pace for the 600s or 400s, but people tend to go out faster.
Yeah, and this is one of those things most regular people do wrong, and most national class or even just, you know, fairly high-level athletes, I don't know, everybody seems to have a different point that they could consider elite. But most people who are what I would consider not elite tend to work out way too fast. And I think also that there are high school athletes, especially in the U.S., who are very, very good, you know, exceptional high school athletes who still tend to work out way too fast.
And what's the downside to that? Why does that not work?
When you go too fast, you tend to put too much lactic acid in your legs too soon. And it is really good for building up your anaerobic threshold, but that's a limit to how high your tolerance for lactate can go. So that anaerobic fitness can go way up quickly by doing that. So there's a time and a place for it. But in terms of actually improving your VO2 max, at the same time, you're going too hard to really impact that VO2 max. And so you're not getting that benefit. Also, by getting way more lactic acid into your legs, it does have an immune suppression side to it. So it just makes it more likely that you're going to get sick. And then in terms of a functional side of it, you tend to, when you do that, slow down or have your form fall apart. And so instead of learning to run a quicker pace smoothly and efficiently, you tend to learn to make some mistakes with your form when you get tired and become less efficient and slow down when you're tired, which are things that you don't want. And so I would say if the workout's designed to be at 3K pace or 5K pace or 10K pace, then you want to really try to honestly hit that. And to the point of the goal shouldn't be like, I think we think of a workout and it's like, oh, I want a good workout. I should be on my back at the end.
Hmm.
And honestly, in a year, that should only be true of a handful of workouts. And the rest of the time, your goal should be to run the workout at the prescribed pace with the least effort possible. So if the workout's, 6x800 at 5K pace, and you can come through it and finish, and like everybody's on their back, and you're like, hey, I almost feel like I could do a few more, or I could even do that again, you're the winner. You've done it correctly. You've gotten out of it what you're supposed to do.
Even if they're flying by you on the last straightaway of the last 400?
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes some people like to just finish strong. And I have no problem on the last one. I think some people really love that sensation of kind of, finding out what they can do in the last 100 or the last one. And that's cool. But the overall progression of the workout should be all about control.
Mm-hmm.
These paces are fast enough. You can't help but produce the lactic acid that you need. The idea is that you want to be focusing on good form, being smooth, flushing it out, particularly getting ready for a marathon. You're not getting ready for an acid bath. You need a little bit of anaerobic work, but not a ton.
Mm-hmm. I guess smooth is the key word. I mean, you've written about it. I think the Let's Run guys, it's sort of their mantra, right? Run smooth.
Mm-hmm.
They have that famous piece, Why I Sucked in College, because I think they were running too hard too often.
Yep. And I would say when I read that piece when I was in college, I was like, these guys are jerks. Rereading it later on, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly my experience.
And that's also part of Canova and the Kenyans and what they do. They'll run smooth.
Yes. I will say Canova takes it a step further in that he incorporates all sorts of efforts. So he, and you don't have any of these in your particular schedule, but for certain schedules and stuff, he'll do circuit work where there's a combination of fast running and exercises or very short explosive sprinting. And that's to improve what he calls max LAS. And I have no idea what the real scientific term of that would be, but essentially the ability to kind of hold your body together for a long stretch when it's sort of at its maximum. And it's really important for 5K, 10K running. And that's the type of stuff that these people who run 13-minute 5Ks and sub-27-minute 10Ks that they really excel at. And in those workouts, some of those literally, like his description of how to run your is like, you're going to run it like an idiot. Like, I want you to run an 800 where you run the first 100 as close to your 100 meter all out time as you can. And you're just going to go until you basically collapse. And you won't run the fastest 800 you've ever run, but you will be in as much pain as you've ever been in. And then you're going to try to do these exercises. There will be points and places where he'll incorporate that style, but for the most part, if you're talking about a specific workout, he's going to tell you, no, you're supposed to just focus on being controlled and smooth at that pace.
Okay, very good. Cool. So I'm looking ahead to the beast at the end of the week, the next long specific run, which is 6x2 mile. With a faster recovery, a glide recovery, I guess. And you've basically, like a game of Chenga, you've taken out a recovery and from the miles. Now they're 2 mile segments.
Yeah.
On nutrition, should I be taking gels during this training like I would during a marathon? Or is the idea to sort of not do that to deplete the stores or anything like that? What's your thought?
If you're planning on taking them during the race, then you should take them during the workout at the same interval that you plan on taking them during the race. So, for example, if you know on race day, I'm going to try to take a gel or a goo every 3 miles, then every 3 miles in your long runs and in these workouts, you should try to take the same gel or goo that you plan on taking. If you're thinking that you're going to try to do the marathon with nothing, then I would do the workouts with nothing. The exception is this. You're a coffee drinker, I believe.
Yep.
And so your body is used to having some caffeine. You're going to need to get some caffeine in your system somewhere between 15 and 20 miles, you know, somewhere between that 25 and 32 kilometers.
Right.
And if that's in the form of a goo, great. Whatever it is, you're going to need that caffeine boost. I would suggest the caffeine boost to a non-caffeine drinker, but it's not needed. If you're used to it, you burn a lot of caffeine through your system very quickly when you're running at a high effort, with metabolism and things like that. And I don't know about you, when I don't have my second dose of caffeine by noon, I start getting a headache.
Hmm.
It's going to fast forward you into a bit of a crash there. So you are going
to... Okay, cool. You said something to me about Pediasure, and I forgot what it was.
Oh, Pedialyte, yeah.
Pedialyte.
For rehydrating, Pedialyte is awesome. It's probably more dense than something you would want to take during the race, although yeah. Certainly you could water it down. But it has a lot of zinc and other minerals and stuff, which are great for recovery, but your body's not going to be able to really take advantage of that in the race.
Okay, so that would be after a long specific mm-hmm. run or after any heart?
Yeah, after like a long specific workout just a particularly hot day, anytime that you're starting to feel like dehydrated, particularly if you're feeling like I've been drinking a ton of water and I still just feel like, oh, a lot of times it's that you're starting to deplete those minerals that you sweat out a lot.
Yep, great. Well, thanks, Nate. I hope to keep up the momentum. Appreciate the check-in. I should say we did put a link to your blog, Nate Jenkins Training. But then I saw a post from you about us or about your appearance on our show last episode
mm-hmm.
and on Let's Get Running. And I have to say, first, you're a bit too self-critical. But what was interesting is that you put, for the first time, we have footnotes for our show. You put some footnotes, detailed addenda, I should say, to various points along the way. So if you really want to geek out, please go to Nate's site. And also go there because it's interesting to follow Nate's recovery. So you're back to running. I saw you did, was it 4x90 seconds?
Yeah, 4x90 seconds was the peak this week. Yeah, so a little tiny bit of running.
Excellent. Yep. Well, you'll be back, I think, extending it out, but being careful, of course. So you're also on Strava. So I think people should follow you on Strava. Not enough
yep.
people checking in and following you on Strava. So, Nate, thanks a million, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you.
So one more thing, Bren, from that interview. Nate, just as we were getting off the phone, wanted to come back to us about the topic that we were discussing last episode, which was burning fat and exactly how these sort of faster recovery long runs, how they help teach the body to burn more fat. And
mm-hmm.
Nate did a little bit of research, and here's what he had to say.
I honestly didn't have the answer, and I looked it up in Pinova's book. It's all about the aerobic lipidic power, which is the amount of fat burned per minute at various efforts. And if you train it, this will maximize between 92 and 100% of marathon pace. And the way that you improve this is by creating a biological signal that induces the muscle fibers to increase the lipid consumption rate, which is done by running in that specific range. But that if you go faster than marathon speed, you fall off very quickly, but you kind of build up to it very steadily. So you're getting a pretty decent aerobic lipid power even at 80% marathon pace. But that the faster workouts are to create the ability to stay in this range longer. And so if you do these workouts, you know, you're doing the 12 by with the half mile recoveries, that turns it into 17, 18 miles that will average 92% marathon pace to 100% marathon pace. And that will create a very strong biological response in your body to improve your aerobic lipidic power.
So Brent, did you understand all of that? You got it?
Yeah, Greg, aerobic lipidic power. I'm just going to think that on my next long run, aerobic lipidic power.
It's a good mantra.
Good mantra. Well, Greg, I enjoyed that that interview quite a bit, and I agreed with what Nate said generally. It was interesting, you know, you were asking him about running too fast for a few miles in your long run. You were running with Elad, right? And he was having a great run, and you had done a lot of miles, easy miles, and then you cranked into the workout called for, what, 2 miles at marathon pace?
Yep.
Exactly. And you were a little hotter than your marathon pace. And it's interesting to me, like, when I heard at first that you were too hot, I was like, oh, well, that's good. That means you were feeling good. I really like what Nate had to say, which was basically, don't worry about that. That problem will correct itself, or do worry about it if that happens on a run where you're doing many more miles at marathon pace. Mm-hmm. I'd like that just because that has certainly been my experience. You know, I've tried to build up in the past, earlier during the summer, you know, last month, even I did like 6-7 miles at marathon pace, just try to get the body used to that. If I just do a few miles at marathon pace, it's very easy for me to be too hot. But the more miles you do in a workout at marathon pace, it's hard to go much faster than mm-hmm. your marathon pace during those workouts. The mileage is a natural corrective.
Yep.
You know, and his advice for the track workout about feeling smooth and running smooth, right? That actually, for me in the past, has been exactly how I've thought of the long marathon pace run. So it may help you there as well. Basically, you're trying to use the least amount of effort to feel smooth and to run at marathon pace. But Greg, you had a track workout, and how did this advice work for you in your track workout just yesterday?
Yeah, it was my first track workout in several months. So it was, I just tried to focus on staying smooth. It was 9x800, but I showed up a bit late and missed the first one. It was 9x500. Mm-hmm. So not a massive amount of items. And I missed the first one. So I ended up doing 8x500. In comparison, this club, the Cambridge Harriers, will often do 8,000 meters worth of stuff. But this was, less than that. So I was happy because that was a good sort of entry back onto the track. And mm-hmm. I just kept the word smooth in my head. And I was happy with, the pacing. I just sort of like hitched onto the back of some faster runners and didn't let it bother me that they were slowly pulling away, like let's say on the last 100.
Mm-hmm.
It was a get it done workout. I was running a faster pace than I had been. And the reason why I hadn't done a track workout the past several weeks is because Nate had said, don't do that, because he doesn't want me to get a recurrence of my ITB.
Right.
So, you know, that was in the back of my head too. And I had no sense that was flaring up at all.
Great.
So yeah, smooth.
And you were sub 6 pace, right? You were, what, like 5:45 pace or something? So
something like that. Yeah. So we were coming through, and there was someone with a watch at the 400 mm-hmm. meter mark of each 500, and it was coming through each lap and in sort of 85.
Oh, good.
So 90 would steady. Be 90, of course, would be roughly 6 minute mile yeah. pace. So,
yeah.
So about 3K pace and just consistent at that. And I think, you know, again, with the Canova system, the real moneymaker is the long specific run, and that's Friday. We pulled it ahead from the weekend because of other commitments. So Friday morning, I have to do, instead of the 10x1 mile, now I've got 6x2 mile with those items at marathon pace and a recovery that hopefully I'll do a bit faster than I had in the previous workout, but a recovery that's for me not so slow. It's about 7:30 per mile for the half mile recoveries. So 6x2 with half mile recoveries, it's a beast.
6x2 miles. So are you going to do this? So you got a field you can do this on, or is this, what kind of surface
that,
you're running.
We have a asphalt square that's 0.85 miles around a park.
Got it.
Yeah.
So a lot of loops.
Yep.
But bigger loops than a
track. A lot of loops. You know, and people say like, oh, it's so boring to run those loops. When you're running a marathon pace, like boredom goes out the window because you're too tired. Yeah. You're too tired to be bored.
Yeah.
Or not tired, but you're working hard. And so, you're not thinking, if we were to run that many miles slowly around a park or around a track, it would be deathly boring. But
well, I liked his advice about an advantage of doing it that way. As I found it running loops at Juniper Park, is that if you are training with the hydration, with the gels and the food and or the drink, you could actually set it up on a course and then grab it each time you're coming around.
Right.
So I liked his advice there on that nutrition. Like, you want to practice doing what you're going to do in the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly did help me in the past when it became far easier for me to eat the gels and not even think about it during the marathon.
Yep. So this park, by the way, is called Sutcliffe Park, but I'm going to refer to it from now on as Little Berlin because it's flat just like Berlin.
The Little Berlin. Yeah, well, again, like I guess the biggest thing that comes out of that, Greg, is again the smooth for me. That advice, and you can use it whenever. I used it even today on a little 5.5 mile run. And another thing about the smooth is that A, you can think of yourself as Bernard Lagat because he's really smooth and he's really good. And he's not as old as we are, but he's pretty old for a really good runner.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that it keeps, if you're thinking smooth and you're running, even if you're running kind of slowly, it's a positive word. And it puts you in a positive frame of mind. So you're not thinking, I can't breathe, or it's so hot outside. You're just thinking smooth, you know?
Yeah. Sounds like Dina Castor has a book about positive thoughts. I haven't read it yet, but I will. And it sounds like sort of something that she would be saying to herself.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, Greg. Well, we look forward to hearing the next installment. Please, people, you can follow Greg's little surge in marathon training towards the Berlin Marathon on Strava. You can find him on Strava. And Greg, on our Strava group, I saw you were 14th for us last week. And we had two over 100. One guy with 112 miles. And it looked like he was doing a lot of these runs from Queens. So really... My goodness. I'm impressed. I'm here. It's hot.
It was hot. Yeah. Hot and humid.
A shout out to Logan Yu, Greg. He was, I think, the third highest, I think about 90 miles. And he runs for North Brooklyn Runners. Really nice guy. And he won both a 5K and a half marathon over the weekend on consecutive days. So, I mean, these people are getting it done. And, you know, Logan is, his average is about 90 miles a week over the past 4 weeks. So it's impressive. It's impressive the dedication that a lot of these runners do, people with jobs and, you know, they're not professionals, but they're certainly dedicated.
Yep. So everyone join our Strava group. We have almost 150 runners all over the world. So please join it. I'd like to see us get over the 150 mark. And it was even a thread on our group about where I was just congratulating people for all the amazing miles. You know, it's not about the quantity. It is about the quality, but it's still quite impressive and inspiring to see how much great work people are putting in.
Yeah, I'll say Strava, for me, like that kind of online tool to track your mileage and seeing other people in the group and stuff, it's a pretty much a positive feedback loop kind of thing. If I'm really hitting it, I like to see other people's runs and my runs. But if I fall off a training, Greg, which is known to happen every now and then, I'm not worried about it. You know, no one is like giving you like boos. No one's booing you because you're not seeing it.
Exactly. Put the phone away.
That said, I'll try to keep up with your training to a degree. Yeah. Because I got to be able to run with you. So anyways. All right. For Greg Lemelstein, this is Brent Jones. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next time on Cloud 259. No need to